We've been going through John chapters 8 and 9, where the religious leaders in Jerusalem have been getting more and more ridiculous in trying to come against Jesus. We get this in John's gospel. We don't seem to get it in the other gospels quite so much. And it all finished with them picking up stones last time to stone him. But Jesus has amazingly passed through the middle of them. And just a stone's throw away, he comes across this man who's been blind since birth. And his disciples want to know what caused it. Jesus said it's not through his sin. It's not because of his parents' sin either, because that's how the rabbis taught it in those days. That's the excuse they gave for people that were born disabled. But Jesus said it's so that he can work the works of his Father while he's still on this earth. And we pick it up today in verse 8 of chapter 9. And we're going to see the aftermath of this amazing healing of this blind man. Because verse 8 of chapter 9 says this. The neighbours, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So you can just imagine this now. The neighbour said, hey, that's my paraphrase. Isn't this the guy who used to sit here begging? Some said, verse 9, this is he. Others said, well, he's like him. But he said, I am he. So some said, yeah, is this the same guy? Others said, no, it just looks like him. It can't be him. It's just somebody who kind of looks like him. He said, and the tenses are here, that he kept saying, no, it's me. It's me. That's who I am. It's me. So they're saying, is this really the guy? Is that the kid who used to sit here begging? We've known him sitting here for years. No, it's him. It can't be him, though. It's just a guy that looks like him. You know, this guy can see. You can imagine all this going on. And he's standing there saying, it really is me. I am the one who used to sit here blind. I mean, how crazy is this? The guy can finally see and now nobody recognizes him. I mean, there's a ridiculous side to all of this, isn't there? Especially when the Pharisees get involved in a minute, and we're going to see that. But imagine the world for him now. This day is completely different than 1,000 other days. In 20 minutes or so, maybe half an hour, because he had to go down to the pool of Siloam, everything is completely different for him. He's listening to his neighbours talking and he's thinking, I know that voice. Oh, I didn't know you looked like that though. I'll pray for you, you know. But he's putting faces to voices. He's saying, no, it's me. Therefore, because of that, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, well, where is he? He said, well, I don't know. He said, am I supposed to know? I was blind when he sent me to the pool. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Well, I wouldn't know him from Adam. I haven't a clue what he looks like or where he went. All I know is his name was Jesus and he made clay and he put it in my eyes. He didn't know anything about the spit because he couldn't see that part. And you've got to imagine this guy. I mean, with all the things he's got swirling around in his head now, trying to put them in some kind of order. Right now, he must be kind of mesmerized, just looking at all these faces. And they're peppering him with all these questions. And he just wants to take in the fact that he can see things. So verse 13 says, they brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime, brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Uh-oh. Here we go. We know what's going to happen now, don't we? Because we've been here before, haven't we? verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. That bad Jesus. And you just know that they're going to cause a scene over this, don't you? I mean, they hate this. Because the law said, no, their law said that you could only spit on the Sabbath if you spat on a rock. If you spat on the dirt and it rolled, it made a furrow, and that was ploughing on the Sabbath, and you were in trouble. I mean, they've made around 613 laws around the Sabbath out of just one of the Ten Commandments. Actually, just to get it right, I think it was 39 with lots and lots of subsections, so it amounted to around 600 or so. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see." He says, what he's saying here is obedience equals sight. That's what Jesus had said, wasn't it? Remember two chapters ago? Any man who will do the will of the Father will know whether the doctrine I speak is true or not. He anointed my eyes with clay, he says. He told me to go and wash. I washed and I received my sight. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Thank goodness. Nicodemus was probably there, and probably Joseph of Arimathea as well. But isn't this amazing? They can't recognize the work of God because it touches the things that they hold so sacred, their traditions. The miracle is, the guy was now seeing, he's received his sight. And all they can think about is that Jesus made mud on the Sabbath. I know what he did, he spat, didn't he? And you know what, as we pass on here in verses 13 to 34, we're going to see this man embroiled in the midst of this controversy. And it still happens 1,000 times every day. For anybody who's born again in a system that refuses to recognize the new birth. For anybody in this country who's in a religious system, a church system, a denomination, a synagogue, a mosque, a system that doesn't recognize the new birth, who comes back seeing and changed and transformed, it's, what are you talking about, being born again? What's up with you? Aren't you the guy we all grew up with? What's happened to you? And you know the story. What, our church isn't good enough for you anymore? We've got a jumble sale next Saturday morning, and we've got a cheese and wine party the week after that. You need to get your feet back on the ground here. And they're unable to recognize the work of God because it doesn't fit in with the confines of their tradition. How sad is that? And as we look at this, it wasn't contradicting any biblical mandate, was it? That's the important thing here. His word never said that a man couldn't be healed on the Sabbath day. They said to the blind man again, "What say you of him, that he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now, notice here, Jesus goes from a man to a prophet, and later on to his master. And then over in verse 38, he's going to be his Lord. That's not a bad day, is it? Start out blind, receive his sight. And Jesus goes from a man to a prophet, to your master, to your Lord. That's a good day. He says to the religious leaders, he's a prophet. Look at verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So they start out by thinking he's been faking it for 35 years. I mean, come on. Oh, you weren't really blind. You just didn't want to work, you know. They didn't believe that he was born blind. I mean, who brags about that? until they called his parents.
We're going to prove you're telling lies. We're going to get your parents in.
And you have to imagine this scene now as his parents come in, right? Because he had never seen his parents. He'd never seen them. The voice of his mother that he'd listened to for decades. Her tender touch, her care, her tears, her prayers. I'm guessing that there's a lot of hugging and kissing that takes place in this scene. And I'm pretty certain that there's lots of ignoring of the religious leaders as they're flinging one another into each other's arms and crying and sobbing as well. You know, it's something those religious leaders saw and they could not deny it. And all it takes is somebody with a brain and a human heart to realise the emotion of what must have taken place right there. And the blindness that the religious leaders are remaining in is because they saw and they heard, but they didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to acknowledge it. And in the same way, you know, how many times have we seen kids come through our kids' clubs and our youth club? And we've had parents say to us, you know, our child, you know, had no confidence when they came here. And they were so shy and we were so worried about them. And coming here has changed them completely. We really appreciate what you've done for them. And we just wanted to say thanks for whatever it was that you did. And they know that there's something different because the parents just know. But the world that they live in is saying to them, you let your kid go to a church kids club? What were you thinking? You want to keep them away from all that Christian stuff? You know, we've even had one mum say, there's no way we could ever think of coming to church on Sundays because that's our family day. Really? What could be better for a family than to have the creator of the universe as part of it? You know, we've even had siblings come along to our youth club, and one would stay and grow up with Jesus, and the other would not stick around for very long because the pull of the world would drag them away, and they'd leave pretty much straight away. And as a result, their paths in life have been as different as chalk and cheese. One has been so blessed, the other one's life has been a real struggle, and they've teetered from one crisis to another. Because just like this man in our passage this morning, meeting with Jesus has opened eyes. Because he gives us sight. And it brings untold blessings. Verse 19 says, and they asked them, this is his parents, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? So they start off accusing the parents of lying now. If he was born blind, how is it that he can now see? And evidently they put the guy out now because we're going to see further down here that they bring him back in again. So they put him out because they want to make sure that their stories match up, right? And they're peppering the parents with questions now. Is this your son who you claim was born blind but now sees? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. He can speak, he just couldn't see. He can speak for himself. Now look, verse 22. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They feared the Jews. Great spiritual leaders, these Jews were. And the reason was because if any man did confess that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So if anyone acknowledged him as such, they would be excommunicated, just put out. Now that sounds simple, doesn't it? But when that happened, you were, when you were excommunicated in Jerusalem, you were cut off from the temple, you were cut off from the synagogue that you might go to, your parents sat Shiva for you. As far as they were concerned, you were dead. You were cut off from the religious world. You lost your job. Your employer couldn't have you there anymore. And you could no longer be with your family on the holidays or the feasts. Your life was literally cut off. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again, called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner, talking about Jesus. Now, what they're doing here is they're putting him under an oath, as described under the law. And under that oath, it was eternal damnation if you lied. Give God praise. They say, we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, I now see. I mean, this poor guy. I mean, imagine all the things that are going around in his head right now. Sight, colour, parents, anger, questions, theology, religion. All these things are going around in his head. And he's saying in the middle of all of that, I don't know anything about anything right now. All I do know is one thing. I was blind and now I can see. I had no intention at all of all starting all this unrest. I woke up this morning, I was blind, I know that. And now I know that I can see. Whether he, Jesus, is a sinner or not, I don't know anything about that or anything about the rest of this stuff. I don't want to get involved in a theological argument. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And the thing is, you know, if you know that much, if you were blind and you can now see, you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's all you need to know to get started. I was blind, now I see. In fact, that's the simplest and the easiest and the most forthright testimony. You know, I remember listening to Pastor Joe Foch a while ago now, and he was telling the tale of when a group of Jehovah's Witnesses came to his front door once. This is years ago. And at the time, he was on an intern program in a church, and he was learning lots of stuff, and he was all getting all clued up, you know, and he was nailing down his theology and all that stuff, and he was raring to go. And when they came to his door, they were frustrated because they hit the house across the street first, and they were Christians. And then they hit the house next door to his, and they were Christians. And they'd also hit the four flats just before they came to his house, and they were all Christians. And by the time they got to his house, they were really snarling, you know. They were ready to up for it, you know. And he opened his door, and he said, we're Christians. And they were really up for it by then. So then they got started, and Joe was going through Isaiah and Revelation back and forth here and there, you know, the deity of Jesus and explaining all of that to them. And his wife came to the door and said, the phone's ringing. Somebody's on the phone for you. And he said, no, not now, I can't. I've got these guys all pinned down now. They were on the run, you know. The white flags are coming up, you know. And she said, no, you've got to take the call. You've got to take the call. So he ran to the phone, and it was some pastor. And he said, look, I've got to go. I've got these J-dubs at the door, and I've gotten worn out. That they're about to surrender. Their hands are in the air, you know. And he came back, and his wife, Kathy, was talking to these Jehovah's Witnesses at the door. And she's saying, you know, I don't know any of that stuff. All I asked you was, do you know Jesus? And he said they had tears in their eyes and they're like worn out, you know. And he's thinking, that's not fair. I know stuff, you know. I know stuff, and you wore them out with that. So sometimes, you know, it's the simplest and the easiest that's the most forthright testimony. And this is the guy here. He says, well, I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is I woke up this morning and I was blind, and now I see. Whatever you do with the guy, well, that's up to you, but he opened my eyes. Then said they to him again, what did he to you? How opened he your eyes? So it's, okay, tell us about the clay thing again, you know. What did he do? How did he do it? Just go through it all with us again. Tell us again. And I just love this guy, you know, because look what he says in verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? What do you want to hear it again for? Will you also be his disciples? Wow, this is great, isn't it? Will you also be his disciples? You know, he's saying, look, I told you the first time and you didn't listen. How many times do you want me to say it? And this is in front of these Pharisees. I mean, how many times do you want me to say it? He's saying, I was blind and I opened my eyes. Maybe you can open your ears. Why do you want me to keep telling you? Do you want to be his disciples too? I mean, look at this. You see, this guy has got nothing to lose, has he? He's got nothing to lose. Some people, when they get saved, because of peer pressure or the environment they're in at school or at work, or they work themselves up the corporate ladder and they get changed, they've got a lot to lose. I mean, you know what I mean. What's that you're carrying under your arm? Oh, it's a first aid kit. You know, that they're afraid to be open. But this guy, I mean, he grew up with beggars, with crippled people, with lepers and blind people. He's got nothing whatsoever to lose. The worst thing they can do to him is to make him do what he's already been doing every day. Sight's the best thing he's ever had going for him. What are they going to do? Throw him out? And he's like, you guys are really worried about this mud thing, aren't you? I keep telling you, I told you before and you didn't hear me. Do you want me to tell you again? Do you want to be his disciples? Important word, also. He's saying, I'm already his disciple. Would you be his disciples also? But they don't take these things too well. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We don't know where he's come from. The man answered and said to them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and does his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. I mean, he's got nothing to lose, has he? Nothing to lose. He says, you know what? This is absolutely an amazing thing. You're the religious leaders here, right? And yet you don't know where this is coming from? Now, he says that because in Isaiah 29:18 and Isaiah 35:5 and Isaiah 32:7 and in many, many places in the Old Testament, it talks about the Messiah opening the eyes of the blind. It's written over and over and over again. He said, you know, this is an amazing thing. You guys don't know where he's from, huh? He opened my eyes. Now, he says, we know that God doesn't work with sinners. God's not going to co-labor with a sinful man. He's not going to hear a sinner who's asking for miracles, is he? But if a man worship God, then God's with him. Since the world began, we haven't heard anywhere about a man that was born blind receiving his sight. If this man were not of God, he says, he couldn't do anything.
They answered and said to him, you was altogether born in sins. Do you teach us? And they cast him out. I mean, the audacity of these guys.
They threw him out. Got to get rid of the evidence.
And it's going to get worse, isn't it? Because when Lazarus is raised from the dead, they want to kill Lazarus for coming back to life.
You see, because the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, and they're the ruling party. So Lazarus is bad theology walking around Jerusalem.
But they say, you were born in sin, and you're trying to teach us.
Now see, they're inferring something here, aren't they? In fact, they're inferring two things. They're inferring that they weren't born in sin. And they're also inferring that's why he was blind. So they threw him out. They threw him out.
Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he found him, when he had found him, he said to them, do you believe on the Son of God?
Now see, that's the contrast, isn't it? The religious system throws you out and Jesus finds you. Because it was the religious system that kept me blind for years.
Now we don't know the details, but Jesus finds him and he says, do you believe on the Son of God?
See how easy Jesus makes it? He only needs one question and one answer, doesn't he? That's how people are saved. That's how people are saved, by believing that Jesus died for their sins and rose again.
He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?
And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you.
And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him.
What a day for this blind man, huh? Thrown out of Israel, but in the right flock, that's for sure. With the right shepherd.
And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also?
They were convicted. They sensed what he was talking about, that it was them.
Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains.
So Jesus says, if you were truly blind, you wouldn't have known what you've been doing. But you say you can see, so you know what you've been doing, therefore your sins remain.
Now look, when we come to the point in our life, our lives, where we say, Lord, I'm blind, open my eyes. I know you're there. I sense your presence. There's no reality in my life, Lord. I can fool everybody else, Lord, but I can't fool myself. When I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I wonder what life is all about. I've got my place etched out in this world, and I've got everybody else fooled, but Lord, right now, I'm blind.
Jesus said to the religious world and everybody else, look, if you're willing to admit you're blind, that's why I've come, to give sight, to give life. But because you say, I see, I don't need any healing, I don't need my eyes opened, then you remain in your blindness.
So this is a great record, isn't it? I mean, I get so encouraged. There's so many things that minister to my heart here in this passage. In the life of this baby, this new believer, as it were, who's willing to be bold,
so willing to stand up and face his critics, and so willing to keep it just plain and simple. He says, look, I don't know any of this stuff, but I do know this, and nobody can ever take it away from me. I was blind, and now I see. Let's bow our hearts to pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us today. And we thank you that we have your word in its entirety, and it just teaches us everything we need to know about you and about the way we should live our lives and about how we should serve you too. And so, Father, as we go from this place this morning, our service hasn't ended, our service has just begun. And Lord, we give ourselves to you to serve you and to be good witnesses for you. Father, help us to keep it simple, not complicated, so that others can understand and you can speak to them. Father, give us the words to say in those times. Lord, open doors for us to get into conversations about you. Father, we pray that you would build your church here, Lord. Give us wisdom and discernment in all our undertakings and in everything we say and do, that we might be those good witnesses and people see in us something different, something special. Father, build your church, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.